Guten Abend, good evening. It's lovely to see so many people again here at the Radio Revolten Club for one of these daily occurrences. We get used to it now already. I think it's day number 7 of the festival. A whole week has gone. And I'm particularly happy to see quite a lot of familiar faces in the audience who have come specially to Halle for the Radio meeting. I see people from the US, from Holland, from Austria, from Italy, from Portugal, from France. I've probably forgotten quite a few more, so it's really great to see all these really amazing radiophonic people in one room gathered here for the meeting tomorrow. And this also means that tonight's night is populated by what I would call now radio artists. We have two duos here tonight, and I think I'm going to introduce the second one in the break. So let me tell you about the first one. It's the duo comprised of Barbara Kaiser and Tamara Wilhelm. They've been working together for many, many years under the name Zum Beispiel, where they've produced performances and radio plays. And tonight's performance has a very special meaning and a special occurrence because they have found a letter, an exchange of letters between the suffragette Emmeline Pankhurst and Nikola Tesla. And it prompted them to look into their life and work and to produce this live radio play, especially for Radio Revolten in Halle here. So give a warm welcome to, zum Beispiel, Barbara and Tamara.
Thank you. Dear Emmeline, after a pleasant trip, I have arrived in New York, where a pile of work, duties, and problems awaited me. 2 days ago, I heard that the rumors about the explosion of the French battleship Jena aren't over yet. Lee de Forest connected the incident again with my inventions, for example, remote control and the so-called dirigible torpedo. This honors me in a way, but on the other hand, it is just, forgive the word, rubbish. Yesterday, I met the chief financial officer of the Westinghouse company. The situation is serious. I don't really know what to do. My only possibility is to give up patent payments for a nominal sum. Emmeline, I only hope this decision will ensure the survival of the company, but will not also ensure my own financial ruin.
Reruns away sounded like the beat of hammers on an anvil. He said he could hear the landing of a fly on a nearby table as a loud thump. The vibration of ordinary city traffic when transmitted through a chair or bench of a fly pounded through his body
as a loud.
It was necessary to place the legs of his bed on rubber pads to eliminate the vibrations.
Chair or bench pounded through his body.
Ordinary speech sounded like thunderous pandemonium.
eliminate the vibration.
The slightest touch had the mental effect of a tremendous blow.
Pandemonium. The slightest touch
of sunlight shining on him produced the effect of an internal explosion.
Produced the effect of internal explosion.
In the dark, he could sense an object, at a distance of a dozen feet by a peculiar creepy sensation
in his forehead. His whole body was constantly
racked by twitches and tremors.
His pulse, he said,
would vary from a few feeble throbs throughout his mysterious illness. He was fighting with a powerful desire
to recover
his normal condition.
He had before him a task he must accomplish. He must attain the solution of the alternating current motor problem.
In addition to all these problems, the New York Academy of Sciences, of which I am now an active member, is demanding texts and publications. I continued with the article about signaling to Mars. It was first published in Harvard Magazine. Our experiment brought some more insight concerning the problems of electrical engineering when signaling over long distances and beyond the atmosphere. I spent some more time figuring out the mistakes in the experiment. I still strongly believe that the sound of the human voice, with all its intonations and inflections, can faithfully and instantly be reproduced at any other point of the globe. I did some further calculations and found that the initial energy ray must have been much too strong.
argument of the broken window pane is the most valuable argument in modern politics.
The signal will stay in the atmosphere, and in exactly 100 years from now, on 1st of September in 2007, it will be audible with adequate technology that I am positive will be available by then, as I myself invented the necessary devices. However, because of the shifts of the magnetic fields of the Earth between now and then, the point of reception will not be New York, but a spot in the Austrian Empire, exactly 47 degrees 56 north, 17 degrees 4 east. Emmeline, I hope you are fine. You know, I adore your strength, and I am really sorry that now you are also having to fight within your own party. Let the women go who think you are ruthless and merciless. They will very soon see with their own eyes that this is the only way. What about your plans moving to London? I am sure it will be a great help to have your daughters around you. How is Sylvia? Is she still in Leicester? I hope to receive a letter from you soon. Yours truly, Nikola Tesla.
Thank you. obsessive compulsive disorder makes me act like I do, that's the price. Signals in the air, in the shouting of our voices. Signals everywhere, as long as we don't have our choices. And I don't know if you think I'm foolish. Don't know if you think I'm wise. But as long as there's no vote for women, we will fight and survive, cats and mice. Signals in the air. Signals everywhere.
Government profess to believe in democratic government, yet they refuse to carry out their principles in the face of weakness. They must be compelled by a united and determined women's movement to do justice in this matter. Next session, we demand the enactment of a women's enfranchisement measure. We have waited too long for political justice. We refuse to wait any longer. The present government is approaching the end of its career. Therefore, time presses if women are to vote before the next general election. We are resolved that 1909 must and shall see the political enfranchisement of British women.